Right here is a map of the first century Jerusalem. Down in the southwest part is the Hinnom Valley. You can see the temple part over there on the east side. Anyway, that is the Hinnom Valley. It is southwest of the temple. And the valley in Hinnom is more commonly known as Gehenna, or a deep pit where the fires burn continually in a huge trash dump. So guess what we have in our southwest? If we want to talk about deep and wide canyons, I think the Grand Canyon fits in that location. Also, we also have Death Valley in the same location. It is the lowest, driest, and hottest place in the country. In fact, Death Valley has the highest recorded temperature of any place on Earth. The area around there is peppered with names appropriate to its climate, like Ash Meadows, Funeral Mountains, Furnace Creek, Hell's Gate, and Badwater Basin. What is odd is that Las Vegas sits kind of right in the middle between them, but it's not so odd when you remember that Las Vegas' nickname isn't just Lost Wages, it is also called Sin City. So all of this area of the country is right where it should be in relationship to Jerusalem and the temple. Now, this may not be conclusive proof for everyone, but I wonder what are the chances that even half of these things could have just been randomly placed in the appropriate regions and area of this country. And it is certain that there is no other nation on earth that houses the blueprint of the tabernacle in the very land in such stunning detail. James told us on Friday that America is the regathering place of Israel. His tent or his tabernacle on this literal natural level that we're living on now visibly in the U.S. is woven into the geography, the natural resources, and the landmarks of this entire country. And I'm glad that I got to share this with you today. I hope something that's presented here will help you in the days to come as Israel awakens to her identity. God bless you all, and God bless America. Okay. Now, that part of it is done, and I'm going to show you some really neat things right here before we talk about Cyrus. If you'll notice this map of the tribe of Ephraim, this was the boundaries, and even if you turn them upside down, you can see that the shape kind of resembles the United States. It's not exact, but it's a pretty close match. Okay, now I'm going to show you this picture right here, and I'm going to go back to Jonathan Cahn's book. We had a little stock market crash back in 2001. It didn't happen on September the 11th because the stock market wound up being closed for a week after that. Now, this is what was going on in the heavenly realms on September the 17th, 2001. Virgo is rising on the east coast of New York on September 17th, and today is the first day that the stock market was open. They're 3.5 hours away from the opening bell at 9:30. Now, this is a word that Jonathan Cahn calls the Shemitah, or the end of the old year going into the new year, which would be Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. It's the day before that, and it's when accounts were supposed to be settled, and in the big jubilee, it would have been the forgiveness of all debts. But this is supposed to be the reconciling of accounts and things like that. But this is what happened on that day that actually fell on the Jewish calendar that day, at the end of the seven-year sabbatical cycle, on the 29th day of Elul is what they call it. Now, if you'll notice, you see the woman rising there, and there is the sun, and the sun is not going to move from there. It's going to be in that same place, but the moon is going to move a little bit more regularly. But see how the moon looks like it's kind of covering her ear? Right. That's what was going on then. And this is what it looked like by the time that it had risen and the stock market had opened. Now, if you will look, In her left hand, she is holding, I don't know if the laser is going that far. In the left hand, she's holding a sheaf of grain, and there's a little marking right there. There you go, right in there. There is a planet in there, and that's the planet Mercury. Mercury is called the messenger planet. It's the speediest one close to the sun, and that was the day that a message was sent into our stock market. We went back and talked about Isaiah 9:10. A word was sent into Jacob. It hath lighted on Israel, and even Ephraim and Samaria will know. The stock market fell that day, and that's when Mercury, the messenger planet, was in spica, the seed, the grain. Now, the biblical astronomy scholars have long equated the woman of Virgo as Israel. That particular thing represents judgment. And if you know even a handful of Bible verses, you'll recognize that any time the left is mentioned, it's usually in connection with something literal that is happening or judgment. The left side is almost always judgment, and that's why they call it the right hand of blessing. Now, the next thing that we're going to look at is another picture. Now, this same particular picture was similar. You'll notice that the sun has moved down in her arm, and the moon is over to one side. But Mercury is also back in the stalks. This is the day, September the 29, 2008, when the market fell 77 points, again on Elul 29, which was the second Shemitah 7 years after the first one. So Mercury just happened to be positioned again in the grain when the stock market fell. And Jonathan Cahn does not seem to know anything about this. He doesn't seem to understand that at all. Now, the next picture that you're going to look at is an ugly picture to me. That is the tree roots of the sycamore fig that was uprooted, that kept a steel beam from taking out St. Paul's Cathedral. An artist came and got the tree roots and made a cast of it and casted this in bronze, and they stuck it downtown Manhattan back in the cathedral for a good long while for people to look at. And this is what he said about it. It took him about 3 years to make that. They put it up in 2005. His name was not Jeffrey Tobin. Anyway, he paid for the labor and the materials himself, and here is a quote that he said in the New York Times. "The function for me of roots is to show the power of the unseen," he said. "And on 9/11, we found out about the power of all of our unseen connections, the things that nurture us that are hidden below the surface."
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I had an aha moment the other day that sent me into a tailspin. This is the guy planting the flag, and it's actually not the guy. This here be probably Ryan Gosling or somebody like him. But anyway, he is defending his new Neil Armstrong biopic against the pre-release criticism that has garnered over a decision by director Damien Chazelle to omit from the film the iconic placing of the American flag on the moon. Gosling said that it was his view that Armstrong's moonwalk transcended countries and borders, according to quotes featured in the UK's Telegraph, reportedly from a press conference at the Venice Film Festival. "I think this was widely regarded in the end as a human achievement, and after all, that's how we chose to view it," Gosling said. "I also think Neil was extremely humble, as were many of these astronauts, and time again he deferred the focus from himself to the 400,000 people who made the mission possible." Gosling, who is Canadian and joked that he might have cognitive bias, added, So I don't think that Neil viewed himself as an American hero. From my interviews with his family and people that knew him, it was quite the opposite, and we wanted the film to reflect Neil. Gosling's comments and the moment's omission prompted some criticism from conservatives and calls for a boycott of the film. This is total lunacy, Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio tweeted, and a disservice at a time when our people need reminders of what we can achieve when we work together. The American people paid for that mission on rockets built by Americans with American technology and carrying American astronauts. It wasn't a UN mission. The fact that the film does not show the placing of the American flag on the moon is a detail that leaked after First Man made its world premiere a few days ago at the film festival. Now, you may ask yourself why this even matters. And it matters because of something that we didn't know back then. On July the 21st, 1969, while Armstrong was still on the moon before they departed back to Earth, I'm going to show you a screenshot of the sky from New York City that evening. The moon was in Virgo, the Virgin, who has been typified as a type of Israel for millennia. Do you see it? The moon was in Virgo, the Virgin, who has been typified as a type of Israel for millennia. The moon is unquestionably placed in the position of the star. It's called Spica, or the seed of Israel. She is literally holding the moon in her hand on July the 20th to 21st, 22nd, 1969. Tell me again that this distortion of facts does not matter. It does, and this proves it. July the 4th, 1776, the sun was located in Gemini, and yes, I know, July the 4th is typically the sign of Cancer, but because of the precession of the equinoxes over 2,000 years, the actual sun was located within the boundaries of Cancer, squarely in the midst. Notice it is right in the middle of the twins. Now, please make careful notice of the king planet sitting in the right thigh of the left twin. I don't know if you can see it or not. Make it bigger. It's really hard to see, but there's the two twins of Gemini. One is kind of sort of kneeling, and the other one looks kind of like sitting. The big red spot is actually the sun. And that's why I had to try to make it in a red mode instead. But on July the 4th, the king planet, Jupiter, was located in the right thigh of the left twin. Now, it took 13 years to get us to 1789. And I'm going to show you what happened then. This particular day is the first day of operations for the presidential term after the election of George Washington. Logistical delays prevented a quorum from being formed for the House and the Senate, so it was on the 14th day of April of 1789 when Washington got word that the Electoral College had certified him as president. And finally, on April 30th, 1789, Washington was inaugurated at Federal Hall. When Washington took his oath, the Bible that he used was hastily opened to Genesis chapter 49. Now, if you'll notice on this day, the king planet of Jupiter has moved in the 13 years from 1776 when we first started fighting about who was going to be the chosen son and who was going to win. And then it moved up to the shoulder of the twin on the right side. 13 years later, after we had gotten all of the dust settled and we had our first president. Okay, that part of it I think we're pretty well through with. Do we want to swap over and talk about Trump and Cyrus? Okay. Okay. This little thing right here, I'm going to kind of ad-lib this. This is a Bible code type of thing, and I'm not usually into Bible codes. And the reason that I'm having a hard time verifying this is because there are words in here like Trump, I'm sorry, not Trump, USA, Ephraim, America, and all sorts of American-related terms and Joseph-related terms and Jacob-related terms in this acrostic here. This particular section that they found all of these words in is Genesis chapter 49. I cannot verify that for sure, and I don't know if they started out looking for it in Genesis chapter 49 or if they plugged it into the computer and this is where the computer converged and, oh, looky, here it is, Genesis chapter 49. What a coincidence. I'll just put that up there for you and just tell you that the stuff is there that relates Ephraim and Jacob and Israel and Isaac and all of these things that are related to America and the United States. And that is all in Hebrew, and that's the Hebrew words that they tried to translate into Hebrew letters from American letters as best they could. So you can kind of take it or leave it. This particular list of stuff is all of the stuff, all of the companies that are in Silicon Valley in the, basically the power plant. And some of you may have heard that they used to use the, they used to believe that the ark being built the way that it was out of the material it was, that it may have had some kind of energy power to it. It would not surprise me because all of these places that are related to internet and invisible, air-wavable stuff, I mean, all of the big tech companies are located in the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. So I think that is all that there is on that presentation. Okay. Has anybody here got any background in the idea that Trump may be Cyrus? Okay. So there just a few people, okay? If you will turn in your phones to Isaiah 45, if you will scroll in your tablets, well, you know, Habakkuk was right, you know, you can't run with the message until you have a tablet, so the timing is right on that, right? So Isaiah 45, if you will turn there. There are a lot of voices out there that have likened Trump to several different people right now, but most of them, Lance Wall now and Jeremiah Johnson in particular, and we're going to cover a bunch of that stuff as we have time here. They've said, oh, well, Trump is like this or Trump is like that. But they didn't really give any proof other than just, okay, well, yeah, maybe he's, you know, he's this builder, he's this. Okay, we're going to tear Isaiah 45 into pieces and look at it and see if he actually is that. Okay? And I will tell you, to start with, I wasn't on the Trump bandwagon from the beginning. Most of the knowledge I had about him, he was just kind of a bombastic, egotistical billionaire of questionable moral character. I didn't hate him, but I saw his lack of tact and overly confident bluster as detriments to his campaign. Hard to take him seriously. I still like him better than Rosie O'Donnell, but who doesn't? It was hard to take him seriously. And I had also heard that he'd call Bill Clinton prior to announcing his candidacy, so I was kind of like, what's up with that? So I was kind of a little bit suspicious to start with because I'm not one that's easily taken to go places that, you know, other people are just going to jump on the bandwagon. Now, the only other thing is that I had heard on at least two occasions, one on a tape and one in person, some man who said, and I have come to trust this man, wait until I play my Donald Trump card. And I thought, okay, so this is either going to be a really big disaster or something. So I had to sit and watch and see what was going on. Those words were more than 22 years old and had been said in public before Trump made his announcement for the presidency. And so I didn't have any choice but to pray about it and be open-minded. You know, what can this possibly mean? Is this some kind of a joker play here? Is this guy for real? What does this mean for us as a nation? Now, I will be quoting some others in here. It does not mean that I endorse their entire ministry. I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So there's going to be some things that I say in here that I may or may not agree with their entire ministry, but they're worth listening to. Now, sometime between the 16th of June, 2015, which was the announcement of his candidacy, and early August, I started to pay attention to the news reports because I wasn't a news junkie back then. Mostly it was just talking heads and a scornful roasting of this. I mean, it's mocking him all the time. And that changed for me after a very brave young pastor posted this word regarding Trump on July the 28th, 2015. His name is Jeremiah Johnson of Behold the Man Ministries. And there is a Facebook link, I think, on his Facebook page if you're into that. And this is his story. He says, I was in a time of prayer several weeks ago when God began to speak to me concerning the destiny of Donald Trump in America. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Trump shall become my trumpet to the American people, for he possesses qualities that are even hard to find in my people these days. Trump does not fear man, nor will he allow deception and lies to go unnoticed. I'm going to use him to expose darkness and perversion in America like never before. But you must understand that he is like a bull in a china closet. Many will want to throw him away because he will disturb their sense of peace and tranquility, but you must listen through the bantering to discover the truth that I will speak through him. I will use the wealth that I have given him to expose and launch investigations searching for the truth. Just as I raised up Cyrus to fulfill my purposes and plans, so have I raised up Trump to fulfill my purposes and plans prior to the 2016 election. You must listen to the trumpet very closely, for he will sound the alarm and many will be blessed because of his compassion and mercy. Though many see the outward pride and arrogance, I have given him the tender heart of a father that wants to lend a helping hand to the poor and the needy, to the foreigner and the stranger. Now, that's not something you hear every day. So to the discerning, you can usually tell when somebody has heard from the Lord, no matter how utterly ridiculous it might be, especially when it goes against the flow of conventional wisdom or popular opinion. Now, this particular prophetic declaration didn't immediately become this viral sensation, but it was prominent enough to draw derision from some of the religious community who, by and large, denounce Johnson as not only a Trump supporter, but a false prophet as well. And after all, the Donald wasn't exactly a stellar sort of character that God would use, right? Married and divorced several times, questionable personal morals, and for the most part, he just wasn't religious enough to suit evangelical Christianity enough to take him seriously. Now, Johnson was so persecuted by his own for saying this that he had to issue a declaration post by the 29th of July on his Facebook page again after most people decided that he said that Trump was going to be president. That's not what he said. So here is his response. My response to the Donald Trump article. Greetings. Due to the incredibly high volume of accusations, suspicions, and hate that I have received in the last 24 hours from folks around the USA regarding the recent article I wrote that was published in Charisma Magazine, I want to bring clarity to a few false and misguided statements that people are making toward what was prophesied. And I will not attempt to defend myself here. I will leave that up to the Lord Jesus now and when I stand before him and give an account for every word I've spoken. The goal of this post is to strictly help those who read the article and have questions in what appears to be a gross misinterpretation of what was published. What the article does not say. 1. Donald Trump will be the next U.S. president. 2. Donald Trump will be the GOP nominee. 3. That I, Jeremiah Johnson, personally support and endorse Donald Trump's personal moral decisions or anything that he has publicly said regarding politics, including the past. 4. Donald Trump is a devout Christian and his life aligns with biblical principles. What the article does say, 1. Donald Trump is going to be used by God as a trumpet in America to expose darkness and perversion. 2. Christians must look past through his bantering and listen for the truth that God is going to make known through him. 3. God can use anyone he chooses to fulfill his purposes and plans in the earth. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, the Jews who crucified Jesus, or Donald Trump, among many. After reading through about 1,000 pieces of mail in the last 24 hours, here's my conclusions. Some Christians appear to be absolutely infuriated at the thought or prophetic word that God is going to use Donald Trump as a trumpet to expose darkness and bring truth because of his moral background and political views. Perhaps God is not being limited, subjected, and dependent to who human beings think he should use for his glory and reveals their own issues with God, not a prophetic word. I, like many of you, was shocked by the word I received regarding Donald Trump. Trust me when I say it was given with fear and trembling. Again, I am not called to prophesy what I think or what my opinion is. I simply deliver the word of the Lord and encourage the saints to test and judge what has been spoken. I will publicly repent to the body of Christ if what was prophesied does not come to pass. I pray that what has been written here will help bring clarity to any viewers or listeners that had questions or possibly misunderstood what was written. God bless you. Let's continue to keep our ears and eyes open to what the Spirit is saying in this hour. Sincerely, Jeremiah Johnson. That man knows way more and knew it far ahead of time than a lot of people did. So, I decided it's time to go and research Cyrus. And this coincides with our next president being the 45th in our nation's history. I expect to get something out of it every time, but I did not know the depth of what I was going to get out of it in the meantime. Kim Clement had also said in 2007 that Trump would be used as a trumpet. Lance Wall now had taken up the slack by October and also began to proclaim Trump as a type of Cyrus and a wrecking ball to the establishment. Now, on a personal level, and I can't say a whole lot here, in late 2013, Miley Cyrus burst back into the Hollywood scene after being gone for a while in a completely new and nasty persona with her hit song called Wrecking Ball. But our email group had been waiting for her and another Cyrus as a double witness since 2013. I can't release the full private email between myself and five others, but it was dated January 21st, 2013 at 6:49 a.m., in which was discussed the second inauguration the day before of Obama for his second term. But by connecting our dots and signs and coincidences, we knew that we were to watch for a Cyrus sign, which included Miley Cyrus. It sounds cryptic, and it may not make a lot of sense to you, but we were expecting a Cyrus marker back then. So this is a part of the email. In 1996, the first clone mammal was made from a somatic cell of a sheep named Dolly because of, as Solomon would say, Dolly Parton's Twin Towers. Dolly Parton is an honorary grandmother to Miley Ray Cyrus, who was actually born Destiny Hope Cyrus on 11/23/1992. Miley became famous for her role in Hannah Montana. Recall Hannah was Samuel's mother. Remember, we are looking for a modern type of Cyrus, God's anointed, who helped fund the Second Temple. Therefore, Destiny Hope Cyrus, who is associated with Hannah Montana, bears watching. We started talking about this 8 months before the song came out, and we didn't even know that that was what's going to happen. So when we connected this Wrecking Ball Cyrus connection to our email, then I knew that it had to do with this Lance Wall now wrecking ball. Donald Trump's fixing to come in and tear everything up. There are other videos that I can't even go into, but look for one on YouTube by Lou Communale of Mind Shift. I think his YouTube channel is called News 2, the number 2, Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W. He's giving a dream, John Paul Jackson is giving a dream interpretation from like 5 years ago on Joni Tabletop that looks like it was probably speaking of Trump and he didn't know it. There is also pictures of a 5-year-old Trump sitting in a bulldozer, and there was a clip from the History Channel that had a documentary on there, and they have removed it from YouTube after they went through their purge of things. So I started feeling like this is the last Trump, and that's when I felt like the dead bones in Ezekiel's Valley, which is the whole house of Israel, beginning to hear the shaking would occur and they would start assembling themselves together, even though I couldn't see it. That's why that video from earlier. The shaking is here, the bones are rattling together, the assembling is happening, and it's coming. It's slow, but it's coming. Now, on Wednesday, March the 2nd, 2016, I was watching Fox News when Mike Huckabee came on and said this. Let me hit that first video with Mike.
Here's what I think is happening. The establishment Republicans are all, you know, bedwetting over this, and they don't...
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if you'll look at your very first verse in Isaiah... Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the 2-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Just so you know. Who knew that Mike Huckabee was going to validate this? Okay, now you also notice that... God is holding Cyrus's right hand. He wasn't holding the left hand. He was not holding that Democrat hand. To subdue nations before him. Now, you also got to remember that we have 50 nations in this big nation, in this United States. These are individual states, but there are also individual nations if you will read the charters of the states. So, he's going to subdue nations before him. He's going to open up the 2-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And we've got a lot to say about gates. Okay? How many gates have we got going on right now? We've got Spygate, we've got gate after gate after gate. We've got Spygate, we've got Pizzagate, we've got, name it, Stormy Gate, and all of these other gates that are going on, all of these scandals. And it's going to go back to Watergate before it's all over with. But anyway, he's going to open all of these gates up. All of them. Not to mention the fact that if you know anything about the internet, and Rob, maybe you can help me out with this, there are gates and portals in the internet that connect... and help, there are openings in the internet superhighway. Yeah, and Bill Gates, yes. So, one of the things that happened, the first rattle out of the bag when they saw that Trump was using Facebook and Twitter to talk to people, there was actually a meeting on, what is the name of that island? It's close to Jekyll Island, but it was over there in Georgia somewhere. St. Simons, thank you. Of all of the big tech heads, and they were trying to figure out how to shut Trump out of social media back then, during the first part of the election. They had this, they thought it was a private meeting until somebody leaked it, and there's not a lot of people that heard about it, but some of us did. And they were trying to shut the gates, and they couldn't. Now, there was also something else that he needed to get before he could get to be president, and that was some delegates. 1,237 of them. And 1,237 delegates is what he needed to get there. And if you give me just a second, I will show you about 1,237. H-1237 in the Hebrew is a word called biqua, which means valley or plain level valley, to split. It comes from the root word baqua, a primitive root meaning to cleave, generally to rend, break, rip open, make a breach, break forth, break out into pieces, rip up, tear, burst, cleave. And where did Donald Trump have to get these 1,237 delegates? At Cleveland, at the Republican National Convention. Yes. So he had to get these gates in order. So all of these gates have not been shut to him. Not to mention the fact that we now have Q and the gates underneath Babylon that allowed the flow of currency to go under there have to be opened up in order for him to take over Babylon. And that's what's going on now. If any of you follow, does anybody follow Q? Raise your hand if you follow Q. The camera's not on. Looky there. All right. The Q army, I think, is also biblical for the reason that if Cyrus is going to take over Babylon and he has to divert all of the water away from the city in order to go in there, he's got to have people digging the dirt up underneath Babylon. And that's what the Q army is doing, is they're digging up dirt out from underneath Babylon and moving it out of the way so that they can move the water over. And we've got these executive orders that are freezing all of the assets and stuff like that. And so I believe that in an incidental way that the Q army is actually biblical due to the fact of how Cyrus took over Babylon. Okay. It was the island Georgia. Stopping there. Let's see. Here's the gates. We've gone through Cleveland. I'm trying to speed this up a little bit. Now, also, the Greek word G-1237 is diadekomai. Come on, Mark, help me out here. Anyway, it means to receive through another anything left or bequeathed by him, to receive in succession or to receive in turn or to succeed to. So the 1,237 delegates is one of those numbers that Ron will look at and go, oh, okay. And the number 1,237 is also a prime number. It is the 203rd prime number, actually. So those of you with biblical knowledge of the Great Pyramid, you'll see that connection pretty instantly there. So are we aiming to the 204th level? Is that what we're going for? So we're just one level away here. Okay. I wish that we had time to go through every single thing that is in here. One of the things that happened is, we'll scroll on up here and get to, what is the next video that we've got coming up, Rob? Yeah, go ahead and play that one right quick and let Mr. Huckabee tell you about how afraid these people were.
Let me tell you something. Here's a little secret, Megan. A lot of these bedwetting, hand-wringing Republicans, they're not afraid Donald Trump is going to lose. They're scared to death he's going to win. And if he wins, he's going to mess up the neat little package of fun they have because they all play to the donor class. And Donald Trump is coming to make big changes in the way that these institutions go.
Let me challenge you that, because in their defense, you know, it's not like nothing happened this weekend. Something big happened. They saw that tape. They were horrified by it. And they had a real, not all maybe, but many had a real come to Jesus moment of, can I actually look my daughter, my son, in the face and say, I, in essence, endorsed that conduct? Because you know as well as I do, this isn't the first time he's made derogatory comments about women.
That's exactly right. Look, it's not a big surprise that he is crude and he's vulgar. We all knew that. We knew he wasn't a Sunday school teacher. I think everybody gets that. And nobody's endorsing what he said. My gosh, not even his own family's endorsing it. He isn't endorsing it. He ran from it, apologized for it. I'm waiting on Hillary to apologize for lying to Congress, lying to the American people, destroying evidence, getting all of her people off with immunity deals, making a deal with Iran, selling out to the corporate shills, just giving over in her speeches. That ought to be the talk of the town.
Well, let me ask you something, because you ticked off a bunch of things that Trump mentioned last night. And while we've talked about the hit Trump's taken in the polls as a result of that tape and so on, I don't know that sort of the mainstream Republican class or, you know, even sort of these elites, if you will, understand how invigorating it was for Trump supporters to see Trump turn to Hillary Clinton and let her have it on some of those issues like emails and trustworthiness and honesty, which we've never seen anybody look right at her and do.
The one thing you have to say about Trump, that he is fearless. This is a guy that is comfortable enough in his views, whether you like them or not, that he's going to take it straight to the other person, to their face. He's not two-faced. He's not a phony. Look, I've said this about him, Megan. He's like Captain Quint in the original movie Jaws. He's vulgar. He's salty. He might even get drunk. He's just a,
he doesn't drink.
Terrible. But hold on here.
Okay.
He's the guy who's going to save your butt and save your family. And so at the end of the day, when he kills the shark, you're happy about it. Now, Hillary is the shark. She's going to eat your boat. She's going to have open borders, immigration out the kazoo. And so the choice is, do you vote for Captain Quint, who's going to save your family, or do you vote for the shark? That's the choice you get to make.
Now, Governor, I hate to, to tell you this. Captain Quint got eaten by the shark
at the end of that movie. Saving the other people.
But he died and went down in flames, and the shark won as between the two of them.
The shark didn't win. The shark got blown up. Look, any analogy can fall apart, Megan.
Work with me on this.
Come on, work with me. This
farewell
is a good one.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Help me out, James. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. Okay, I got to go. Sorry. There are limits to what I should be doing on the air. Great to see you, guys.
Certainly. Thanks. Good to talk.
He's going to save your butt. And the come to Jesus moment, that was pretty good. But you can understand, that was twice that he used that particular phrase about the bedwetting. Okay. He says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou may knowest that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Well, he's already given him lots of money, but if he gives him the treasures of darkness that the banksters have taken and stolen from us, we're going to be in really good shape. Now, good clap for that. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Who did he do it for? Us. He's here. He's the president of America. He's not the president of Tel Aviv. I'm telling you. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. We knew what we were getting. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Basically, he's saying, thank you. Okay. Drop down, ye heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Did we get warned that there was supposed to be a calm before the storm? Okay. Now, the next thing is, woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashion it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Hit it, Marco.
He's always calling me little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me, he's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? And you know what they say about men with small hands? You can't trust them. You can't trust them.
And Mika.
Nothing makes a man feel better than making a fake cover of a magazine about himself, lying every day and destroying the country. Oh, well, he's covering his hands here because they're teensy.
Yeah. Teensy hands. Are they making fun of his hands? Does God's work have no hands, apparently? Verse 9. What are you making? He has no hands. Does that not make any sense? Bob, you look confused. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. That's them fighting. Everybody against Trump. Fighting against each other. And then them making fun of what God has made and said, he has no hands. Little hands. That's a direct slap at his manhood. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, they're telling me a while ago that I had 5 minutes. We don't have time to get into all of the rest of this. But basically, you can look at Isaiah 45 and you can find all of the details in there. You just have to dig them out and say, Lord, show me the details. We covered the storm. We covered the hands. We covered the fighting. We covered the gates. That was enough for me. All of these other current events, we'll just have to do whenever we've got some more time.